Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend. Do we lie? Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, the other Dr. Mintel, my husband, Norm. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're so glad you've joined us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be honest and say I've had a really crummy week. Oh. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. There are so many issues at work. No one stepped up. No one got things done. And I'm so frustrated. I think I'm going to quit. How am I doing? Am I depressing you?
Yes, you are. And you're really complaining.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But I know why. I know why. It's the topic of our show today. And that was very good, actually. You did very well with that improv.
There's a lot of truth
there. I know. And let me just say that, Norm, putting the show together, it was very convicting, at least for me. Because this is an area in my life I need to continue to work on. I can fall into complaining really fast.
Well, you're certainly not alone. Any guesses on how much the average person complains in a single day?
Well,
this is good.
I'm going to guess it's a lot. I don't know what that number would be. I think it's so habitual, we don't even know we're doing it. So, all right, go ahead. Give me the number because I have no idea.
Okay, there's a guy named Will Bowen who wrote a book called A Complaint-Free World.
Okay.
The average person complains between 15 to 30 times a day.
Wow.
Well, that doesn't sound like much to me.
Really?
30 is probably closer to the average. I mean, think about it. You go to a restaurant, or you're waiting in the fast food line. You're in the grocery line. You're on an airplane. You're at church. You're in the workplace with your family. There are so many opportunities to complain about just about everything.
That's true.
I think 30 is way too low.
Oh my gosh, I think that's a lot. If we just start counting it.
How many times do I complain on the way to church?
I know, but that's because you're an impatient driver. I will say that. So I found other studies that say most people complain once a minute.
There you go.
During a typical conversation, once a minute.
I think so.
Oh, so you think that's more accurate?
I do.
Okay. I guess it's just so easy to do because it's kind of cathartic. It kind of feels good at the moment, doesn't it?
Well, isn't it like smoking or overeating? It's feeling good in the moment, but it can have negative effects.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever thought about it being like smoking.
Well.
Maybe that will help us calm it down. You know what? Here's the thing, though. In terms of the brain, you know I'm going to talk about the brain now.
Of course.
It's actually hurting your brain. When you complain or complain to for 30 minutes or more, it can actually do physical damage to your brain.
Oh, I don't know if I want to hear this, but please tell me.
Yeah, no, we need to hear this. This is what we need to know, right? So here, so researchers always look at the brain with MRIs.
Right.
You know, we know those functional MRIs. Okay, so they found links or an association. So it's related. That means it's just related between long-term stressful life experiences, long-term exposure to hormones produced during stress, and the shrinking of a part of our brain called the hippocampus. That's not good. You don't want that part of your brain to shrink because the hippocampus is the region of the brain involved in the formation of new memories, and it's associated with learning and emotions. So stress and complaining do all these negative things to the brain, and all that negativity actually shrinks structures in the brain.
And I thought you psychologists shrunk our brains.
The shrinks.
The shrinks. Wow, to your point, here's a quote from author Dr. Laura Marham that we really liked. Here she says, every time you complain, your irritability, just like a virus, is neurologically picked up by every other person who hears your voice or sees your face. I don't think that's a really good Christian witness.
No, no. And complaining releases cortisol. Now, most people know what they've heard of that, right? It's the stress hormone. You don't want that to stay released for a long period of time. It's not good for you. And it puts you in that fight and flight mode when that cortisol is all increased. And that can also raise your blood pressure. It can also weaken your immune system. So in essence, it can really make you more vulnerable to disease.
Well, I don't think I've ever heard those connections before, but they kind of make sense. Since we are mind, body, and spirit, we're all connected, right?
Yeah, and this is going to give us pause for why God is telling us not to do this as well. The creator of our bodies, right? The creator of our brain. He knew what he was talking about here. So, you know, we might know a person or two who never complains. I'm trying to think. Do we know anybody? I know a person who complains rarely. I know somebody. You would know him too if I said his name. But they still experience stress. And they still, when they don't complain, guess what the outcome of that is? They rate their lives as happier than complainers. Their relationships are closer and they live longer.
So what else does complaining do to us aside from the spiritual ramifications, which we'll talk about later?
Okay, so here's a really big problem, and we have a problem with this in American society. It can lead to what's called demoralization. And this is when people just start to feel helpless. It's not depression, but it's like you just have this negative cycle of thinking, which then begins to kind of rev you up, like we were talking about with the stress. And when others hear it, including our children, it reinforces negative feelings like life isn't good or I'm not good enough. So it demoralizes people when they're around people who complain.
And that must be exhausting. That must make you feel depleted and like you're getting sick, I'll bet.
Well, that's like the demoralizing part of it, yeah.
So why do we do it?
Well, I think, don't you think at the really root of complaining is it's often an expression of a verbal expression of something when you feel powerless. I think that's kind of behind it. Sometimes we complain out, you know, we can complain out our frustration when people aren't doing what we need them to do. Like, you know, the kids aren't doing the chores or a coworker's not pulling their share of the weight. You know, we complain we're upset. We complain we're dissatisfied. We blame others or life instead of just accepting things or people as not being perfect or somehow they're flawed like we all are. Now, this is different than stating a need. I want us to hear the difference. Complaining is different than just stating a need or a concern or sharing some type of feeling like sadness.
Well, because there's no solution involved, right?
Right. You're just kind of letting go and saying stuff. And you're
venting.
And you're most of the time, think about what you complain about. It's usually people.
Usually people, circumstances.
Process, maybe, you know, like the inefficiencies and things like that.
I was thinking that complaining, though, bonds people sometimes in the workplace. You know, they get together, they can complain with one another. It seems like it might be useful, but you're saying that creates a toxic or negative workplace.
It does, and it does happen. I mean, we know people who are in toxic workplaces, and we've been in a few of those in our lives, and you kind of bond together. It's almost like trauma bonding. It's not quite that, but it feels like, you know, oh, we're in this together. But the problem with that is it doesn't make people feel better, and it doesn't solve anything.
Right. And what you're doing is you're bonding over a common complaint or a common bad boss. And so you feel affirmed.
Worse. And then you feel worse because it's bad.
Because it's now compounded over and over.
Yeah.
So how is complaining different from just expressing a concern?
Yeah, when we express a concern, and we do this in couples work all the time, right? We tell people, don't complain about your partner, but if you have a concern, express it. So what you're doing with a concern is you're usually pointing out a problem to fix something that's needed in the relationship or something that needs, you know, you could fix to make things better. And people can change their behavior easier when the approach is positive, when you're working towards a goal. So here's an example. Instead of, you know, I'm so tired of picking up your clothes around the house. Now that's a complaint, right? Try, you know, dinner will be ready in 10 minutes. When all the clothes are picked up before dinner, we can all enjoy it together. So let's get busy so we can have some fun and relax.
Okay, so you expressed a concern, clothes everywhere, and a solution, but in a more positive, goal-directed way. Certainly, though, complaining becomes a habit for most of us. Explain how that happens.
Well, when you complain and you get really good at it, there's something called, there's something called myelin. It's a microscopic neural substance that forms around nerves in the brain. And this substance adds speed, accuracy to your thoughts. So it strengthens the neural pathways related to the skill of complaining.
Oh my gosh, it makes you better.
It makes you better and faster at it. And it increases it.
Oh.
So in other words, the more you do something over and over, complain, the more it becomes a habit. And complaining is a habit, then remember, it alters our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it like muscle memory. Eventually, complaining becomes a default behavior.
Mm.
You've basically trained your neural pathways to complain.
Training our brain to do this the more we do it.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Basically, repeating this behavior makes it easier to repeat mm-hmm. the behavior in the future. So easy. In fact, that you probably don't realize that you're even doing it.
Right. It's a habit. It's a default.
Wow. What about if we just vent? Is that different?
Well, years ago, we used to tell people, okay, when you feel bad, just let it out.
Yeah, right.
Just vent. Guess what? We were wrong.
It's kind of like hitting pillows, right?
Yeah, we were wrong. Venting is no better. It makes a bad thing worse.
Mm.
You feel worse the more you vent. It doesn't make you feel better like we originally thought. And venting seems to prolong those bad feelings as well.
Okay, let's go back to complaining for a second. One of the impacts of complaining is that those around you now feel bad too. We know someone who's in a toxic work environment, you and I, and complaining is a constant theme there. It's impacting the morale and the mental health of the people in that workplace.
Yeah, and again, there's a biological reason for this. So I know we all can see it when it happens, but we're not really aware of what's going on biologically, right? So that constant exposure to all that negativity is hitting that part of the brain that's supposed to be used for problem solving
uh-huh.
and cognitive function. So the more people around you complain, the more you feel bad, and then the less able you are to focus and to think clearly. So you'll hear people a lot in real toxic work environments say, it's just so negative in there. I just can't think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think. I can't focus. Well, that's true because it's hitting parts of the brain that are impacting those functions.
So it seems to me that to get rid of this, we have to first be aware of it and notice it so that we can start stopping it. Hopefully, we're helping all of you become aware so together we can work on stopping this chronic mental health issue. But the important part of this conversation is looking at how we can stop complaining and begin to turn it around. And right after this break, we're going to get to solutions.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mintel, available on her website at drlindamintel.com and online.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Our topic today is Break the Habit of Complaining. And we have a lot more to talk about. But before we move on, let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamintel.com. There you'll find her blogs, her books. You can connect with her on social media. You can listen to our podcasts anytime on your favorite podcast platform or go to myfaithradio.com. Now, before we move into solutions to complaining, let's give a spiritual perspective. Not only is complaining bad for your brain and your mood, as you've told us, but the Bible has so much to say on this topic. In fact, I found one site that said there are at least 100 verses in the Bible about complaining.
Yeah, no surprise.
Right. The Bible talks about complaining, and it uses the word mumbling, grumbling, and you know what it says? Just stop it.
It's pretty direct, right?
Right. I mean, from Numbers to John to Philippians to James, over and over throughout the wisdom books, one of Israel's greatest and most consistent sins while they were in the wilderness was complaining and murmuring. In fact, it was their complaining and negativity that turned what should have been an 11-day trip into a 40-year-long generation-killing ordeal.
Generation killing ordeal.
Well, they did.
Love
they all
it.
Died
yeah.
in 40 years because they couldn't go into the promised land. And my mom always used to say, remember how the children of Israel complained and what happened to them? I was like, oh, okay.
And your mom was not a complainer.
No.
She was not. So
she hated it.
Yeah. So grumbling or complaining is based on the idea, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
That God's not enough.
Oh.
That he's not sufficient. He's not in control. He's not powerful enough in your life. So the bottom line is, it speaks to a lack of trust in God's sovereignty. So Norm, let's begin with a spiritual solution.
Okay.
Instead of giving voice to complaints, number one, trust that God is working in your life despite all the difficulties that you face. You know, the Apostle Paul is a really good model for this. He tells us to rejoice in our sufferings, mm-hmm. knowing it brings endurance and patience. Hey, I'm not saying this is easy to do, but the more we respond like Paul, the more we also retrain our brain.
Right. And we've trained it to complain. Now we have to untrain it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He certainly had so many valid reasons complain.
Yeah.
He founded churches who lost their spiritual focus, got off on their theology. That was the easy one. He was thrown in jail. He was beaten severely. He was shipwrecked, just to name a few things. In fact, he stuck his hand in the fire and a snake came out and bit him one time.
Oh, that's right.
Just a few things that would certainly set my complaining quotient off the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was tired. He was frustrated. He was harassed and nearly killed. Yet, he was able to bridle his tongue.
I know. When you give that summary of all the things that he went through, it is pretty miraculous, isn't it?
Yes.
So had to be the power of God working in him. So the question is, you know, would God ask us to do something we can't do? I mean, God designed our brain.
Right.
So if he designed it and he's saying, don't do it, we must be able to stop the complaining. So his admonition is not only supported by the science, but he's also in working in us and through the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. This is something that we can do. So we want to stop these negative things that we do, complaining and venting and pointing the finger at other people's. All of these are bad habits that Christian, non-Christian, we need to break.
We sure do. It sounds like we need to turn this around for our spiritual health, our physical health, and our emotional health. So what are some ways to retrain our brain to better line up with Scripture?
Yeah, I mean, the Scripture is very prescriptive in mm-hmm. these types of areas for our life. So, you know, remember, you don't have to complain. It's actually a choice that you make every time you do it. So if you want to break the habit, you have to make the choice not to do it. And in my world, we call that starving the neural pathway. We're not gonna keep doing it over and over. We're going to stop it, starve it, and eventually not do it. So it's a choice that we make not to do it. When you train your brain to be optimistic and positive, there's a lot of research that's been done on this, 30 years worth of research by Duke University and the Mayo Clinic. And they found that optimism, so that's the opposite of complaining,
right,
actually will literally add years to your life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so to do that, notice when you're about to complain and then bite your tongue. Is it simple? Is it that simple?
Well, it's a choice, right? So I think it helps to maybe take a deep breath, not just react, just take a deep breath. And here's the thing. You know, to bite your tongue means giving up the gratification of rehearsing why you're right and being committed to being a positive influence in the situation.
That's good. That's good.
So you really have to think, okay, I might know what to do here, but maybe I shouldn't say anything at this time. And it will be much better to choose your responses if there's a reason to complain. Like maybe there's something bad that's actually happening. So again, we say this over and over in so many of the shows that we've done together. You know, we can't control what other people do, but we certainly can control our own reactions. We don't have to respond with a complaint. Even if you can only make a small difference, that can lead to bigger things. So even if you do it one or two times and you stop yourself from doing it, that's going to be a help.
Right. So, Katie Sims-Wilson, our technical producer, has a question for you, Dr. Linda.
All right. So we're flipping the mic to Katie. Here we go. Okay.
Okay. So can you, like your personality, can it be an optimist, or is that because you complain so much now you're like an optimist person?
Yeah. So that's a really great question. It's a little complex because you can have certain type of temperament that you're born with. That can really impact, you know, the way you're more negative to things versus you're more positive. So like babies that have a really high frustration tolerance versus low, they just kind of coo and look happy most of the time versus babies
you do
who
see
complain.
That.
Yeah. So there's a temperament difference. There's also what has happened in your life. What types of things have you experienced? People with a lot of trauma can be very negative because they've experienced a lot mm-hmm. of negative things mm-hmm. and they don't see life very positively because terrible things have been done to them or traumatic things have been done to them. So I think there is a tendency to have some, you know, predisposition to it, but Also, the brain goes negative. That's kind of the normal default. Hmm. And so all of this talk that God gives us about renewing your mind daily, he says daily, I think it's because he knows you have to depend on me to really get this right and to live this life that way.
And you can't blame your parents who were negative, and you can't blame your circumstances, although we do.
Yeah, and you learn stuff from your parents, right? Sure. So if you grow up hearing them complain all the time, most likely you're going to be a complainer. But you really can work at this. And again, I'll go back to God doesn't tell us to do something in his word and then say, well, good luck with that. I hope it works out. You know, unfortunately, you weren't born in the right family. Or he doesn't do that. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this type of thing.
So this hearing complaints, wherever they are, I want to make sure I get this. When you hear those around you, maybe it would be good to just stop, pause, listen, and then focus on ways to improve the problem so that you change the focus to problem solutions.
Which is what you want anyway, right?
Right.
I mean, I hope that's the intent. You're complaining because you're hoping something different will happen.
Right.
But I am really trying to do this, Norm. I'm trying to listen to it and then go, okay, I want to problem solve, not whine. And then let's come up with a solution. What can we do to make the situation better? I just had this call with a colleague today and I said, okay, here's the problem. Now, what can we do? How can we affect this? How can we turn this around? And if you do that over and over, it will start to become your new default.
Mm.
So I am literally practicing this, seeing the problem as a challenge to fix and trying to stay positive.
That's good. And it seems to me that from time to time, in my experience, when we complain about a certain person or a certain situation over and over again, and then something good happens, that kind of disrupts the pattern a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Well, that, from a leadership point of view, I read that it helps to banish the word but.
Yeah.
Think about it. When someone comes up with an idea and another person says, but, right away, that usually means there's a negative. I heard someone say one time, no matter what you said in the first part of your sentence, when you put the conjunction but in there, you negate everything you said before that because it's going negative.
Mm-hmm.
So to improve a team, maybe change the but to and say, that's a very interesting idea. And I would also like you to consider, it changes the energy in the room in a positive way.
Yeah, that's just a small change, but that's a big change when I hear you talking about that. Here's one for families. So challenge your family to live this week with no complaining.
Oh.
Like have a complaint-free week and see if you can do it.
Okay.
You could put a jar on the counter. And every time anyone complains, that person has to put a coin in the jar and express gratitude in place of the complaint. So, example, oh, we're not having fish again. Turn that statement to something grateful. Dad's cooking and it's healthy. We used to have that when my dad had to cook on Friday nights because my mom used to work. It was like, oh no, Dad's cooking again. But we got some of our favorite stuff, even though it probably wasn't, you know, the best meals
right.
when we look at it.
Scripture tells us to count our blessings, and that old song said, and name them one by one.
Yeah, which is really the overall solution, is to be grateful. I mean, we've done shows on the power of gratitude, and if you want to retrain your brain, that's a great way to do it. Focus on gratitude.
Let's go back to the Apostle Paul and hear his words in Philippians. Do everything without complaining and arguing.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything.
It says everything,
without
doesn't it?
Complaining and arguing.
That is so convicting. I'm just going to say, should we stop and pray now?
Yeah, let's
and confess Jesus. Our sins one to another so that we can be forgiven, which is one of another scripture that's not on here. All right, so that is really good. And it also says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Everything again. There's that word. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There it is. Everything.
Right. And in case you're still not convinced, Peter says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Oh, that's interesting, tying hospitality without grumbling.
Oh, my goodness. There's just so many of these, Norm. But as we close this very convicting show, at least for me, I want to end with a couple of verses we mentioned. This verse also reminds us to be a light in a very dark world. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain.
Wow.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to my co-host, Norm Mintel, who makes the show a conversation, and to our technical producer, Katie Sims Wilson. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Hey, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes and share it with friends so we can live life to the fullest, walk confidently, and find healing and hope.